Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Most pregnant women will experience at least one food craving during their pregnancy. So what can the classic pickles and ice cream craving and others tell us about our body's needs? What are some of the most common pregnancy food cravings and aversions? And should we listen to our body and indulge in these cravings? I'm Peggy Carotti, registered dietitian, and this is Preggy Pals, episode 63.
Is that a plus sign?
Pink or blue?
Hospital or home birth? What type of food should I be eating?
I think I just peed myself.
I'm pregnant, and I have to exercise.
What pregnancy glow?
Wait, was that a contraction?
Gotta make these pants fit. I've got kinkles.
What do you mean there's more than one?
You've got the symptoms, and now you've got the support you need for a happy 9 months. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy, your way. Welcome to Preggy Pals, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Preggy Pals is your weekly online on-the-go support group for expecting parents and those hoping to become pregnant. I'm your host, Sunny Galt. Have you joined our Preggy Pals Club? Our members get all of our archived episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. You'll also get a free subscription to Pregnancy Magazine when you sign up. So visit our website, preggypals.com, if you'd like more information. And thanks to everyone who is listening to this episode through our awesome Preggy Pals apps. We have a couple of them. They're available in the Apple and Android marketplace. It is the best way, in my personal opinion, to listen on the go. I know for me, I've got two little boys at home already, and we are always on the go doing different things, and it is nice to be able to listen to the episodes on the phone because, yes, even though I do the episodes, it's nice to listen to them again when we're out and about. And our apps are absolutely free, so go ahead and download them today. So let's meet our panelists here in the studio. We will start here. Christy, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm Christy. I'm a young 41. I'm actually one of the Preggy Pals bloggers right now.
Yay!
And I'm due on Labor Day with a little girl. It's our first, and we're planning a birth center birth at a hospital birth center.
Okay. Clear as mud. Got it. Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Stephanie, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Stephanie. I'm 30. I have a little almost six-month-old little girl at home. So I'm a stay-at-home mom / producer for Preggy Pals. And, yeah. I was so used to saying the...
like all the stuff, yeah. And my due date is blah, blah, blah.
I was going to say that. And I'm planning a... not a birth anytime
soon. Not anytime soon, right? Okay, and joining us on the phone is Katrin, and she's calling us from Nevada. So, Katrin, tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Hi, I'm Katrin. I'm 26, and I work overnights at Walmart. So I've actually been up for quite a while. I'm due August 25th with my first child, a boy, but I also have two stepkids, Dahlia and Noah.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. I can tell you guys a little bit about myself. I have two little boys, as I mentioned earlier. One is 3, one is 1. I am pregnant again, and last week we found out that I'm having identical twins, which is a super duper big surprise, and I will be a mother of 4 under 4, which is another topic that I think we have to explore on our sister show, Parent Savers. So I've got some tips on how to handle all this. As far as, the due date, we're due in December, but twins can come at any point after 36 weeks and still be perfectly healthy. So now we're kind of November, December. I'm not really sure when these little guys or girls are going to arrive. We do not know the gender yet. Hoping to find out soon. But yeah, during my ultrasound where they told me that I was having twins, they tried to look and couldn't see anything yet. So we got to hold out, I think, for a couple more weeks. And I think that's it. So we will be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We have a question from one of our listeners. This comes from Deborah, and Deborah writes to us on our Facebook page, actually. Deborah says, any all-natural remedies or treatments for asthma? Unfortunately, my house was hit by a bout of bacterial pneumonia, and while the antibiotics are helping clear the infection, I'm having terrible asthma as a result. My doctor mentioned that because I'm 21 weeks pregnant, I may continue to have asthma during the rest of my pregnancy. Oh, that would be horrible. The inhaler works for a little bit, but then I'm back to wheezing and coughing. Any recommendations?
Hi, Deborah. This is Dr. Tara Zandvliet. The key to asthma management in pregnancy is to make sure your baby has enough oxygen. That means you have to breathe well. If you're not breathing well, use your inhaler. Sometimes you need to use an inhaled steroid even, which isn't great for the baby, but it's better than no air. To reduce the use of inhalers, though, because I understand that's a good goal, there are some home remedies that work very well. The first thing, of course, is look for the sources of any allergies, like food intolerances, dust mites, animals, plants. Consider getting rid of carpets and getting really good HEPA filters on your vacuum, air conditioning vents, or a HEPA filter for your house. The next step is breathing exercises. They can help increase your lung capacity and sometimes even delays the need for a rescue inhaler. You breathe in for a count of 10, constantly inhaling even though your lungs are full, and then blow out. Alternately, you can inhale in pulses counting to 10. Some people find that easier to keep their lungs open while they're breathing in. You do this as many times a day as you can remember it. And then there is tea, caffeinated tea, believe it or not. Like green or black teas, they have a chemical that is similar to the old asthma medicine theophylline. It is safe in moderation in pregnancy, and it can open the lungs pretty well. One mug, 8 to 10 ounces or so, up to 3 times a day, of course not too late in the day, right, is the usual safe dose in pregnancy. You can breathe in fresh thyme, the herb thyme, in some hot steam. Thyme relaxes the muscles in the lungs and opens them up. So does magnesium. Magnesium is wonderful in pregnancy, but don't go over 250 milligrams a day. Omega fish oils and vitamin C have been proven helpful in asthma, and they can help. Eating ginger and turmeric in your food is anti-inflammatory, and that will help as well. One caution, though, is to avoid the herbal asthma teas and the homeopathic asthma medicines, because some of the plants that they use can be harmful in pregnancy.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Food cravings and aversions are common during pregnancy, especially during your first trimester. Peggy Carotti is a registered dietitian, and she's also a mom who's personally experienced food cravings and aversions during her own pregnancy. So, Peggy, welcome to Preggy Pals.
Oh, thank you.
Like we were talking about, Stephanie and I were talking about earlier, we're going to nickname the show Peggy Pals. At least this episode is going to be Peggy Pals.
Okay.
In honor of our guest expert here. Okay. So, Peggy, how common are pregnancy food cravings? Cravings, and as well as aversions. We're going to kind of lump them together here.
Very common.
Yeah.
You know, when you're pregnant, you have the raging hormones, as everyone calls them. We have excess hormones, and what those do is increase our sense of smell and our sense of taste. And at the beginning of your pregnancy, normally that first trimester, that's probably where you're going to get your aversions because you're nauseous and maybe vomiting. And so you're going to have an aversion to a food or a smell that might bring that on. So you're going to probably avoid foods in your first trimester. Yeah. And then hopefully after you get through that first trimester, you do feel better. And then you're probably going to start really getting into the cravings.
Okay, but it is possible to have cravings even in your first trimester, mm-hmm. right?
Well, some people don't even get, you know, the morning sickness.
Yeah.
But others do. Like, for me, I had morning sickness my whole pregnancy.
Your whole pregnancy? Really?
Yeah, it was horrible. I ate because I had to eat, not because I wanted to eat.
Yeah.
The whole pregnancy. So everybody's different.
Right.
It's no two people are the same.
Oh, of course. Okay, so I have to ask the panelists here in the studio, as well as Katrin on the phone, you know, have you guys experienced this? When did you experience it in your pregnancy? And during the second half of the show, we'll talk more specifically about what your, you know, aversions were, your cravings were. But for now, did you guys experience it at all? What do you think, Christy?
Well, I had a lot more aversions. I never was really nauseous. I wasn't throwing up most of my first trimester, but I just never felt great. So I was just averse to most food. And there was, in particular, and to this day, I am still averse to one specific Mexican restaurant here in San Diego that begins with an R. I don't know if you want me to say names.
No.
But and it feels kind of personal at this point. Like, I'm happy to eat anywhere but this one place.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not averse to anything else, really.
And but that started during your pregnancy?
It was one of my favorite places to go before the pregnancy.
Wow.
And as soon as I was pregnant, and that was always, when we're trying to figure out where we want to eat, we kind of give each other like, okay, what's your top three? What's your top three? Okay, and then we figured out. And my top, and it was usually a good top three for me most of the time. As soon as I was pregnant, I'm like, anywhere but there. And still, no desire to go.
Really?
Yeah.
That's really interesting. What about you, Stephanie?
Okay, so in the first trimester, I think I got by eating oranges and oranges alone. And then, and I craved the smell of oranges. So, you know, I don't know, there's nothing really nutritionally based about that. But I think I've read somewhere that the smell of citrus is supposed to kind of help with
like nausea?
Something like that. And fruit in general, but I had an aversion to fish my entire pregnancy. I couldn't smell fish. I couldn't eat fish. It just was, and I love fish. I could live on fish normally.
Yeah, yeah.
And meat in general, I didn't want to cook chicken. I didn't want to look at the raw chicken, to cut it, to smell it. Oh, to smell it. Whoa. But now I'm okay. Everything went away.
Back,
yeah, everything went
no
back
Mexican
to normal.
There's no Mexican restaurant you don't like anymore.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. No specific restaurant, but I thought my kid was going to come out as a burrito. I could not get enough. So that's all I wanted was Mexican food.
Well, when you swaddle them, they kind of look like little burritos.
Very true. So, yeah, she wanted Mexican food. That's what she wanted. But, nothing unusual, though. I mean,
okay.
I think, yeah.
Okay. So, Katrin, what about you? Do you have any, food cravings, without going into the specifics of all of them, or any aversions now in your pregnancy?
I definitely did in my first trimester. I actually had a pretty easy first trimester. I didn't have a whole lot of morning sickness or anything like that, so I did crave a lot of healthy foods. It kind of went away in my second trimester, and then I've been noticing now in my third that it is definitely coming back. But in a different way. In my first trimester, it was more just groups of foods. And now in my third, I'll just think of something or I'll see something and I'll want it right now. Which is strange, but kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's bad when that happens.
I've noticed that. I'll see a commercial like for cheesecake, and I'm like, oh, cheesecake sounds such a good idea. I'm very marketing victim all over the place.
Yeah,
advertisers love you right now.
TV commercials are terrible because you'd be like, man, I want a Pop-Tart, like out of nowhere. I haven't had a Pop-Tart since I was 8 years old, and I want a Pop-Tart,
and it sounds like a really good idea at the time. Like, yeah, I never eat Pop-Tarts anymore, but it's like, Oh, Pop-Tart.
And I'm sorry, because you're probably going to go out and get a Pop-Tart now.
Okay, well, Peggy, one of the things I wanted to touch on was something that Katrin talked about, and that was something coming and going. You know, I mean, is that common? Obviously, we can get these cravings and aversions throughout our pregnancy, but have you seen that before where, or even experienced it personally where something comes and goes like that?
Sure. You know, during your pregnancy, your body's going through so much changes, and you're emotionally going through changes, so... You know, emotionally, it may be a comfort food. It may be something that's going to, you know, bring you some comfort because maybe emotionally right now you're kind of like going off the wall.
Yeah.
And so there, you know, pregnancy is a very special time, but it's not a normal time.
Right.
So, right. You know, and if they're healthy cravings, not that I would say Pop-Tarts would be on the top of the list, but if your weight is in check and, you know, you're eating most of the time healthy, then, you know, go ahead and have that.
Yeah.
So it's all in balance.
I loved, you know, Katrin, you were talking about how you craved healthy stuff. And man, I don't know what's wrong with my body, but it is not the healthy stuff that my body is. I wish it was.
Less than 10% of people crave healthy cravings during pregnancy.
Really?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Really?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I craved pizza. There's healthy stuff on pizza.
I'm a vegetarian.
Tomatoes. Yeah. And cheese.
I mean, I eat cheese. Yeah. In your life. I wanted kale chips in the
kale
chips and avocado sushi rolls.
Yeah.
Avocado was another one of my aversions my entire pregnancy, which is so weird for me.
Because you normally like avocado.
Love avocado. Yeah. Yeah.
Mine was broccoli.
Oh, I love
broccoli. And to this day I still cannot eat cooked broccoli.
Really?
But I can eat raw broccoli, which
broccoli did other things. We're not that's another episode.
But broccoli was the smell for me, and I still can't get over that smell.
Yeah.
Oh, even though my kids are 21 and 22.
Oh, wow.
So we eat a lot of raw broccoli in my house.
And actually, one of our Facebook friends, Charlene Bronzel Long, I hope I pronounced that right, said, I love dark leafy greens. But in my first trimester, I could not eat them. All I wanted was bread and cheese or pizza and lasagna. Fortunately, by 20 weeks, that aversion went away. So,
yeah.
So she craved, she liked her dark leafy greens again.
Good.
Okay, so why do we crave these foods, Peggy? I mean, are there specific reasons why, you know, we start to like something and then change our minds and all this kind of stuff?
Oh, there's theories. There's no science. You may be craving something salty because your body's telling you you need more sodium. You may be craving that burger because your body's telling you you need more protein. So that's the theories, that if you're craving a certain something, then maybe your body is needing that, what's in that nutritionally.
But there's nothing medical-wise to prove that?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. We talked about hormones kind of racing through the body. And then, you know, to your credit, what you were just talking about, kind of a nutritional deficiency. These are some of the things that I found online that people were trying to blame or whatever, credit their cravings to. So hormonal changes, nutritional deficiencies, emotional need. And I think for women, that can play into it a lot. We are a ball of emotions right now on so many different levels. Have you guys experienced that if you go through a particular emotional state that you find yourself craving? Do you remember that at all?
Yeah, comfort foods.
Yeah,
definitely. Like a chili, you know, just warm. It was winter time, so, you know, chili and bread. Bread and pizza and anything delicious.
Women just tend to be more emotional eaters, even without being pregnant. We're just a more emotional being. And for some people, when you're emotional, food is your comfort.
Yeah, and add the hormones in. I never was a big chocolate eater until I was pregnant. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, chocolate. This is what chocolate love is all about.
I actually felt really lucky in a way. I wrote a blog post on PreggyPals.com about being gluten-free and having a gluten-free pregnancy. So I had to learn how to deal with the cravings for all those wonderful, comforting, glutinous foods before I was pregnant. So by the time I was pregnant, I had already kind of learned how to manage cravings. And And so that was really helpful, actually.
Really? I mean, did it work? Because I know sometimes I'm just like, I know I shouldn't eat that, but I just feel like my body's just calling for that and I'm just going to eat it.
Yeah, no, I really, I mean, like I would say I've had preferences and aversions, but not cravings. I've never had that kind of thing. Like Antonio's, one of his friends said, oh, just wait, you know, my wife had me going to KFC in the middle of the night every night and getting, and then I had to go to the bodega and get watermelon. And he said, he goes, just wait till those midnight cravings come. He goes, I don't think that's going to happen for us.
I never had those late night. No, I think that was more, I don't know. I think that's a little dramatic.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's, you know, for me, I think at this, it would also, indulging in some cravings would have just been indulging in, you know, the chaos and drama of wanting to indulge in emotional stuff.
That's what I was going to say. I think that's when that comes into play. Because sometimes I'm like, do I really need that? Or am I just, you know, going through something that I think this is going to make me feel better?
Right. Yeah. And for me, or am I a marketing victim thinking Pop-Tarts are good?
Or, and this is something else that I found online, people say they think they have these crazy cravings, but they're really just trying to ward off some sort of nausea or some sort of, you know, pregnancy symptom they're trying to get a, you know, around. And I find myself doing that too, because I'm still, you know, I'm about 15 weeks and I'm still kind of feeling that nausea. I'm really hoping it goes away. And it did with my singletons, but now that I'm pregnant with twins, I really don't know what's going to happen with this. So I could have it, you know, hopefully, Peggy, I don't have it my whole pregnancy. Oh, Lord.
Ginger could be your friend.
Right? Exactly. But chips and salsa right now are really big with me. And it doesn't need to be something that's super spicy salsa, but like you're talking about running to KFC in the middle of the night or whatever. And I told my husband yesterday, he was going out somewhere, and I'm like, I am really craving the Chili's, you know, the restaurant Chili's. They have their bottomless chips and salsa. And I don't know if you've ever had it, and this is like a huge like commercial ad basically for Chili's right now, but it is fabulous, and their chips are really light and flaky and whatever, and really, really good, and they're hot, and I just was craving that, and he was like, you really want me to go, you know, to Chili's to get you these chips and salsa. There's chips and salsa in the cabinet. It's kind of shameful to admit, but sometimes it's just like, oh,
you know what, salsa's healthy.
Oh, it's not the salsa stuff that I'm talking about. Peggy, we're going to talk about pica cravings, or pica, or however you guys pronounce it. This is craziness to me. Okay, so apparently everyone in the world knew about this besides me. I'm just now finding out about this, but if you Google it, it's totally crazy. Peggy, tell us a little bit more about it.
I say pica. It's a craving for non-food items, which can be dangerous. Number one, your body doesn't know how to digest it. And a lot of women tend to crave clay. They'll even take the clay pots and grind them up and eat them.
Who's a lot of people, though?
Well, you know, less than 10% of women get this.
That's still a lot.
But still, you know, and like in the South, it's a... Black women think that if they eat this clay, the red clay, their baby will come out a beautiful color. And so it gets to be psychological, too.
Wow.
And what's dangerous about that is there's a lot of lead in that. Yeah. So the mother and the baby are ingesting a lot of lead, and also it can rupture the placenta. And so it's a really dangerous situation, and they do try to study it, and they keep saying that maybe you need more... I want to say lead now, iron in your diet. Mm-hmm. And so they do try that. And pica can even happen with young children. It's out there too.
Really?
It's not just pregnant women, but it's...
There's a reality show about it.
No, there is not.
Yes, yes, there is.
Is there really?
Yeah.
What's it called?
I don't know. I just remember...
Pica people? Pica people?
That would be a good name. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, something about my... weird food addiction or something.
Yeah, I think I saw something because someone broke glass and ate glass.
Oh,
she actually would eat a whole glass every day.
Yeah, a woman, the one I saw was she was eating her couch.
Oh, I think I saw a commercial for that one.
Yeah. Are you
kidding
me?
No.
This is so weird.
No, yeah. I you know.
And if this happens, you really need to get
consult a
doctor, because it's really a dangerous situation. Some of it is just your body can't digest it, and
well,
it's going to cause
all
kinds of internal damage. And if you're pregnant, it can rupture your placenta. And then some of it just has dangerous stuff in it. and eating glass.
I just want to know what causes someone to want that. I mean, it's one thing to think your baby's going to turn a certain color, so you're going to eat this or whatever. Or in Stephanie's case, your baby's going to turn into a burrito. Because you eat so many burritos. Like, I kind of see the cause and effect there, but, like, what's eating a couch going to do? It can't be like, I'm really want that because I know that tastes good. It can't be a taste thing.
I would think it's more on their emotional roller coaster that they're on.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And is there help for people like that?
Well, really need to go see a doctor and get psychological help.
Okay, so it's a psychological thing.
Yeah.
Nice, good stuff. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll explore the top pregnancy food cravings. We'll talk about more aversions as well as some possible substitutes for those cravings if they're not that healthy for you. But no couches. We're not going down couches. That road anymore. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Today we're discussing pregnancy food cravings as well as aversions, and Peggy Carotti is our expert. She is a registered dietitian right here in San Diego. All right, so in this half of the show, we are going to go down a list of common pregnancy food cravings as well as talk about some aversions. And this is from some lists I found online, so it's completely accurate because it's internet-based. No, but it's basically just, everyone has their own opinions, and these are some of the common things that people say. Some of them we've talked about previously in the show, but I thought it'd be fun to go through and to mention them again. All right, so ice, ice chips, stuff like that, stuff that you just get from your fridge where you just hit the ice thing and crushed ice comes in. I really enjoy ice. I know in my last pregnancy I had gestational diabetes and I had to do the non-stress test at the end, and they gave me crushed ice all the time to make sure the baby was moving and so they could get the monitoring they needed to get done, and I loved it. They had like the best crushed ice.
Okay, I know that sounds silly.
Quality crushed ice.
No, because when the hospital that I gave birth at, they had the best crushed ice. I'm not kidding you. Maybe it was just my state at that point, but I've actually heard this from other people that delivered there, that they have the best.
Maybe it's a ice hospital chips. Thing. Maybe because they've got some sort of, they've got to produce this crushed ice on such a mass level. I mean, maybe restaurants have this too.
It's super delicious.
It was really good. Great. I think it has something to do with the texture and stuff and how it melts. Like,
it's
whatever
like
comes out of
size.
My. Yeah, it is. It's like whatever comes out of my fridge, like, isn't that quality stuff. It's not like snow cone stuff, It's like rough edges or whatever. You like how I'm dissecting ice.
We're crushed ice connoisseurs here.
I would say that's not a bad craving. You're so thirsty during pregnancy, even breastfeeding, that chewing on ice would be fine.
Well, it's water, right?
Right.
And you are proving why this is on the list now. Your passion for ice is definitely
shining through.
I didn't quite get it, but now I'm like, there's some delicious.
You just
wait.
Go home and try it.
Yeah,
ice is gluten free.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay, chocolate is next on the list. And Stephanie, you talked about this a little
Definitely.
Bit. Anybody else really like chocolate?
I love chocolate, and in my probably the first trimester and into the second trimester, total aversion. Did not want it at all. I was kind of like, "Oh my god." And her and the baby's dad doesn't like chocolate. I'm like, what if she doesn't want chocolate? What if I'll never be able to share chocolate with her?
Really went in depth with this, didn't you?
Well, hormones. Let's just say that moment was brought to you by my hormones.
I had to have my little candy bar every day, too.
Yeah. Good stuff. I actually found a prenatal vitamin online that is a chewable chocolate. I swear, I'm going to buy these. I actually want to see if they'll sponsor the show because I'm so excited about their product. But chocolate, I'm a big fan of chocolate. Katrin, what do you think about chocolate?
Oh, I love chocolate.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that it's more, I just want sugar every day at this point. So it doesn't necessarily have to be chocolate. It could be cheesecake or ice cream or anything super unhealthy and sugary.
Yep. I hear you. Okay, so spicy foods. And this could really be anything,
Hot wings. I had hot wings probably 4 or 5 times last week.
Oh, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
Really feeling the spicy.
Yes.
Yeah. Spicy always seems to me, it settles my stomach. It's probably psychological, but I did crave spicy. Yeah. And even today, like if if I'm not feeling really great, I just want something real spicy.
Yeah. It's like the chicken tortilla soup or something.
Yeah.
I have this thing going on with me now. I made my husband go get this huge jar from like a warehouse store of sliced jalapenos.
Oh my goodness.
Oh,
yeah. And like yesterday, he was cooking dinner. We were in the kitchen or whatever. And he's like, why do you have the jalapenos out? And I'm like, because I'm eating them. And he's like, oh, well, what are you eating them on? I'm like, I just poured some in a bowl. I'm just eating. I'm just snacking on jalapenos. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I'm like, what's the difference between a jalapeno and a pickle? Seriously, like you could grab like a pickle spear or just some jalapenos. What's a big deal?
So that one's actually not only spicy but salty.
Yeah. Oh, to the jalapenos. Mm-hmm. Oh, so pickle. Maybe that's
Yeah, I definitely spicy foods. The spicier the better. And I was never a big fan of spicy, but yeah I put Cholula on everything. Like one of my cravings was pizza, and I put Cholula on.
Oh yeah,
I just poured it all over.
It's like
there's this one commercial for a specific hot sauce that there's this grandma, and she says, I put that blank on everything. Yeah, that was me
really
with Cholula.
It's really pregnant woman, yeah. Right? The big one on the list is pickles. You hear a lot about the combination of pickles and ice cream. Actually, both pickles and ice cream are on this list. Anyone actually want them together?
No.
I never quite understood.
Never.
Yeah. And when they say pickles and ice cream, do they mean together?
I think some people do, you know, put them in the
bowl
together.
But like sweet and savory in general, I think. I mean, it may
sweet
not be
and
that.
Salty.
Sweet and salty.
Oh, yeah, sweet and salty. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like and you know, there's like four categories that you tend to. It's the sweet, the spicy, the salty, and some like the sour. So the pickles could be the sour, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Do you guys like pickles in general?
In general, I love pickles. I can't say that my desire for them has changed. It's been kind of consistent.
Yeah, it was the same for me. Yeah, my husband thought he was being funny, and he got a giant jar of pickles for me. And, you know, he's like, here you go, I know you're going to want these. And I'm like, you're sweet, but I'm fine.
You're sweet, but you watch too much TV.
He ended up eating more than I did.
All right, ladies, well, that was fun. That was a fun discussion on that. Anything we missed, Peggy, that we need to let our listeners know when it comes to cravings or aversions?
Oh, if you have a craving or aversion, as long as you're eating, for the most part, look at the big picture the whole day.
Right.
Then go for the craving if you have room for it.
Right.
But make sure you're getting your nutrition in, too.
Yeah. And your heartburn isn't acting up, because as we're talking about this, I'm starting to get heartburn. I'm like...
And my doctor would always tell me, stop eating that spicy. Then
or
no,
right?
It doesn't like, matter. No,
it's the jalapenos from last night.
Water gave me heartburn. It didn't
matter. Oh, everything, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, ladies. Well, thanks for joining us today. This conversation continues for members of our Preggy Pals Club. After the show, we're going to talk about all these food cravings that we've been having. Well, what are some good substitutes for those, especially if you don't feel like you can eat those during your pregnancy or you're not supposed to eat them? Perhaps you have gestational diabetes or you're trying to go on the gluten-free diet, as Christy was talking about earlier. So what are some substitutes that you can put in your diet for some of those crazy cravings? If you want more information about our Preggy Pals Club, visit our website, preggypals.com.
Hi, Preggy Pals listeners. I'm Robin Kaplan, an international board certified lactation consultant, owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center, and the host and producer of Preggy Pals' sister show, The Boob Group. I'm here to offer some advice on what you can do during pregnancy to prepare for a positive breastfeeding experience, such as take a prenatal breastfeeding class. As many of us prepare for our first child, we take childbirth classes and spend hours on the internet researching the best car seats and strollers we can find. Yet one thing that often falls by the wayside is taking a breastfeeding class. We figure that breastfeeding is something that should just come naturally, so we will just learn on the job. For some new moms, that works out just fine. The baby is born, he latches beautifully, the mom's milk supply comes in, and everybody's happy. However, for most of us, not taking a breastfeeding class can actually be a real detriment to this breastfeeding process. Unfortunately, many of us new moms are given incorrect information about how a milk supply is established, how often a newborn should breastfeed, and what signs to look for if something is not going quite right. We also hear tons of horror stories about sore nipples and low milk supply. So how can we expect to succeed if we don't know what normal breastfeeding looks like? A fantastic breastfeeding class should cover all of this, like what to expect in those first few weeks of breastfeeding, positioning and latch, which signs indicate that your baby is getting enough, and also common breastfeeding concerns. And since breastfeeding is not something you can practice before your baby arrives, your breastfeeding class should also go over local resources you might need for breastfeeding support after your baby is born. I also highly recommend bringing your partner with you to this breastfeeding class. First of all, it is important for your partner to be aware of what you will be working on to establish a positive breastfeeding experience. Secondly, your partner will be able to assist you more easily if he or she actually knows what to look for. And thirdly, your partner will hopefully be your cheerleader during this process of getting breastfeeding off to a great start. So the goal is for him or her to come away with some tangible ways to help you during this process. So, my advice is to Google which breastfeeding classes are being offered in your area and plan to attend one during your 7th or 8th month of pregnancy. I promise you, it will be worth your time. For more great information about what you can do during pregnancy to prepare for a positive breastfeeding experience, check out my blog at sandiegobreastfeedingcenter.com/blog and be sure to listen to Preggy Pals in the Boob Group for fantastic conversations about breastfeeding and breastfeeding support.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Preggy Pals. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Parent Savers, for parents with newborns, infants, and toddlers, and our show, The Boob Group, for moms who breastfeed their babies. This is Preggy Pals, your pregnancy your way.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.